All right. Okay. Thank you, Ron, and welcome, everyone. We've been having a little stormy weather through here, so I hope everything stays with us, because around Wahala and the West Union area, it kind of got rough a little bit this afternoon. And had a lot of stuff down and missing. Yeah, I was kind of wondering if we were going to be able to have, would have cable to continue studying that, but we did. And we are, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and get going. Let's turn with me again to Zechariah chapter 8. We finished 7 last week, and we'll start on 8, but 8's got too many verses to conquer all in one setting, so we'll kind of half it up a little bit and do part of it, and then we'll get the rest next time. So, Zechariah 8, if you got a companion Bible, it's on page 1288. And looking at this and going through this, we're going to talk with, we're going to talk about some about the restoration of Jerusalem, and also the involved in this down through verse 17, if you will, deals with that. We probably won't quite get that far tonight, but we're going to deal with the inhabitants of Jerusalem, those that are coming back, and the privileges that God has given them, and some of the reasons why some of the things weren't as good as they should have been. And, of course, he addresses the ones that came back, and he's also making promises to the ones that have come back and built in Jerusalem and going to live there and have children there, and the very fact that they're going to kind of pick back up, in a sense, as to where they left off. But God gives you the good aspects and the bad aspects of each thing, so it kind of shifts back and forth, kind of like what we read about and what Ronnie's been going over in Revelation. You get one view here, and then you get another view there. And the view was for one kind of offsets the other in that purpose. So we're going to talk in verses 1 through 3, I believe it is. Yeah, 1 through 3, we're going to talk with the displeasure and the reconciliation that God provided for those that were to come back. And you know, we talked earlier about that God was going to send people there to do work. And this is basically what this boils down to, because he is telling, well, if you were some of the first ones back, there was no hire. There was nobody that could hire you, because everybody was kind of on the same footing. But, you know, when they got started with the temple, a lot of these people went in and built their own houses before they got involved in the temple work. So Jerusalem had become, I think, again, a kind of a bustling place, if you think about it that way. And so we'll go ahead and get started. This is study 137 in our study on walk, and I'm not so sure the actual word occurs, but God causes people to come and go, so I guess that's part of the whole aspect of the thing. And today's date is the fifth day of July 2017. I was going to tell you it was the sixth day, but Ronnie reminded me that yesterday was the fifth. So here we go. And this is study 137 in our study number. And it says this, again, the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me saying, and that is Jehovah Sabaoth, or I like to say the Lord of heaven and earth, because he is dealing with heaven and earth. Because, you know, if you don't believe it, you go to Revelations and look at the correspondings there, and you realize it truly is earthly and heavenly in that sense. So the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me saying, he says once more, again there's where it starts, that's once more the voice of Jehovah Sabaoth, or the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of heaven and the earth, came unto me, Zechariah, telling me the next verse. And what the Lord of hosts was telling Zechariah was verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. That's pretty clear. I was jealous for Zion, with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. So you see, he starts right out with the displeasure that he had of sending the people away and getting his revenge on the days and the times that they didn't do what God asked them to do. And so he says, I was jealous for Zion with a great jealousy. When he emptied the temple area out and the area around Jerusalem there, he said he did it with great jealousy because of what they had done in their life and what they had done to the temple. Because they had went into the temple and started practicing idolatry in the temple. You know, we took that up with back in one of the other books over there. And it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. And this is an ongoing decalogue or prophecies as to Jerusalem and to the inhabitants that are back in Jerusalem. And you can find that it deals with Jerusalem in verse 2, 3, 4, verse 6, 7, 9, 14, 19, 20, and 23 in this chapter. So you see over half of it deals with Jerusalem, either good or bad, either one way or the other. Okay? So thus saith the Lord of hosts. That is the main theme here, that I was jealous for Zion with a great jealousy. Okay, let's look at that. And he says, I was jealous, and you could put in there, and still am. Because he hasn't forgot about his holy mountain and his holy place, even when they messed it up and he had to start all over again. So he says, I was jealous, and I still am jealous, for Zion or Jerusalem area with great jealousy. And great there is the word gadol. And that's 14:19, and great there means, let's see, I wrote it down. In the next part of the verse, it means to make large, 14:19 in the Strong's means to have large jealousy or large envy, because envy is 7068 in the Strong's, and the word is kenal, and it means to have envy for it. He wanted it back like it was. He did not want it to be done the way it had been done. And so he was going to have to tear it down and start all over again. That's how much he thought of it. And he says, and I was jealous and still am for her, Jerusalem, with great fury. And so fury is kahamal. And it means, the fury there means to have heat or passion for it. And of course, if you did anything to or against Jerusalem, it would raise God's heat in a hurry. And therefore you would get the poison from it.
Went on
that
permanent record too.
Yeah. But now, you know, he caused a lot of it, but it was because of what the people did. Okay. So he had a reason for doing all the things that he did. And so that's what we got here in the situation. And all these, a lot of these references here, deals with a time of the future. And they await the millennial time for fulfillment. So this is, a lot of these things we read where it says, and it will come to pass. Guess when? During the millennial time. So some of this stuff has already been, and some is yet to come. Just like it has been for a long time here. We get down to verse 3. And it says, thus saith the Lord. Over and over, he reminds us again, just like he did before when he called man, son of man, Adam. And so he says, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, I am returned, or I am come back unto Zion. And he said, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts. And we can put, it's going to be called the Holy Mountain. So if he says, I am returned, or I came back unto Zion and will dwell. And that 7931, Shalkem, means to reside, to abide, or to remain in the midst of Jerusalem. So he's going to be evidently fully involved, not only with the temple, but fully involved with the people of those two tribes that were there, Judah and Benjamin. Okay. And he says, and Jerusalem shall be called or known as, in verse 3 there, shall be called or known as a city of fidelity or a city of truth, or basically a city of the truth, because this was what was going to come out of the temple that was going to be redone completely there. And it says, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of heaven and earth, the mountain that of Judah, the holy mountain, it's going to be known as just that. It's going to be known as the holy mountain of God. It doesn't say of God in the scripture, but if he's going to abide or to dwell or to reside there. Certainly we know that it's going to be known as his place. And so that's the first three verses that we have gone through. And it gives you, you know, a little bit of understanding about the situations that he expects it to be when it's fully restored. Then we get into verse 4. And verses 4 through 12 deals with the inhabitants of the area and the privileges that they not earned, but the privileges that God will allow them to be in that place as they came back from their journeyings and to the heathen countries. And it says in 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. Well, we know that the people here weren't going to dwell in the streets, but they're going to dwell on the streets. That's generally the way all towns or cities are thus built. So, thus saith the Lord of hosts. And this is, we're talking about future fulfillment here because, he says, there shall yet, and yet there is in the days of future fulfillment. If something is yet to be, it's not right there, right exactly then. I think it was partially there. I think people that came back built their own houses first. I think there was a lot of construction still going on there. But these people had come back not only to build their houses, but to help build and complete the temple. And so when God says you need to listen to the prophets, that's what he's telling them. You're back here for a job to do, and you better heed what the prophets have said. You need to know what they have said so you can fulfill my word and take care of things. Okay? So he said, there shall yet in the days that they shall yet be old men, verse 4, and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem. It says men and women of age will abide on the streets of my city. And Jerusalem has been and will again be known as the city of God. So we can say my city. And it said, and every man, or every ish, if you will, with his staff in his hand, and he's calling his staff in his hand a walking instrument. All of them may not be staffs. Some of them may have canes or other appliances that they use to get around. But it is a sign, basically, of old age. And I just put a walking instrument because I'm not certain that everybody was going to have a staff. But, you know, if you were a shepherd, you would have a staff. You'd have one with a crooked end on it where you could catch the lambs. But I don't know about everybody, but it says for very, very age. And I looked that up and it meant fragile life in a sense or a multitude of age. So it tells you that, gives you the understanding that some people did come back that were old. They may have been kids when they left and stayed 70 years, but they came back under the mercy and the pleasure of God, you know, in their old age. But again, there's restoration going on here. And so, four deals with Jerusalem too. And then we get down to verse 5. And it still talks about streets thereof, so I guess 5 kind of goes along with 4 with Jerusalem. And it says, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. So it kind of gives you the picture of a regular town again, a regular city. And the thoroughfares, the passageways, and the streets of the city, and I assume that was Jerusalem, shall be full of boys and girls, or shall be full with children. And it doesn't say their ages, but I assume they're all the way from very young up to grown people. At least the ones that are big enough to play in the streets. Playing in the streets, they're both old and young together, as in the olden times or in the times before God put them out. And he didn't put the children out because they had done these evil things, but they were learning all this stuff from their parents. And so he put the fathers out and the mothers out, and of course the children went with them. So that gives you the sense that as it was in the days past, the 70 years back, it's going to be that way again. Then we get to verse 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven and earth, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. So here is an adage that you see over and over in Scripture, that, you know, if it seems good to the people, if God is pleased with it, then he's going to allow it to continue on. So 6 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, heaven and earth, if it be a wonderful thing. You see the word marvelous there? Well, that's Palal. It's 6381 in the Strong. And if you look it up, it says that it's, generally speaking, it can be marvelously bad, but here it's positive. It is marvelously wonderful thing in the eyes of the remnant, of the ones that are those that remain of his people, of Israel, in these days now. And 6. Okay, let me turn my note page over and we'll continue on. I run out of notes. In the continue 6, it says this. should it also be marvelous in my eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Should it also be marvelous or a wonderful thing in mine eyes? In mine eyes is looking into the future. According to God, it says for the future time or days, because this is what he's speaking about. It's good for the people to see it now, but it's going to be good for God to see it on down through the ages, for the future time or days, saith the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of heaven and earth, of which he was speaking Jehovah's oracle, because this was an oracle of the Lord of hosts. It was going to be that way in a future time. So we get to 7. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Here again, he says, behold, or lo, look and see. He says, I will show my people. No, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. What does that mean? So he says, look, now I'm going to show you something. You're going to see it. I will save my people and that is protect or restructure Israel, restore. He's going to protect, restructure and restore his people Israel from the east coast and from the west coast. And this is used here for the whole earth. From the east, as far as the east is from the west. So you get the idea there that in 7 says from the east country and from the west country. So it's going to cover all of the known earth at that day or at that time. Then we get down to verse 8 and it says, and I will bring or gather them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Now, we've heard this expression a lot. They will be my people, and I will be their God. That was the way it was supposed to be.
That's the opposite of Lo-Emma.
Huh?
The opposite of Lo-Emma, where I'm not your God and you are not my people.
But see, he sent them away for a while, now he's got them back. So he says, I will bring them. So I guess they walk back. So that might be our,
that might be our
lesson, base for today. And he said, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And I will bring them, and they shall abide within the city. And they, Israel, shall be my people or my chosen ones. And I will be their Elohim, their God. Okay? And I'm going to be their God in truth, in stability, and in certainty. In truth there is 571 in the Strong's, and it's Ameth, and it means stability and certainty. And in righteousness. And that's to seed all call. And that number is 6666. And the Strong's in the Hebrew And it means in mightiness, in justice, in virtue, and in prosperity. This is four things, and I didn't write them down, and I meant to, but I didn't write them down. But if you're in God's righteousness, you will be doing the right thing. That's righteousness. Okay. And you will be just, not only in your dealings, but you will be just with everybody and everything. Not just a few things. If you're going to be just, and you're going to be, your word is your bond. You're going to be looked at that way. And in virtue. And that's how you treat each other. And then in prosperity. If you do all these things under the auspices of the Lord, if you're doing His right, you're doing His justice, and you're doing your virtue toward Him and His people, and you receive prosperity, that is reward for what your hands need to be doing and yourself. So that covers the four things. You know, when we look at it sometimes in the Strong's, we don't see all these things, but it's right there. Then we get down to verse 9, where it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts," again, the Lord of heaven and earth, "let your hands be strong." Whoa! All of a sudden, he says, "let your hands be strong." Let's read the rest of it. "That ye hear in these days the words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid." How long ago was that? "That the temple might be built." Well, if you don't have the notes in the companion Bible, you'd have to go back and do a lot of research to find. That's the reason I like the companion Bible, because it gives you lots and lots and lots of stuff that you need to know when you're looking at something and planning on trying to teach it, or even trying to get it down in your own mind as to what's going on here. "Let your hands be strong." Why? "For the work that I give you that lieth ahead." He's telling them people the reason they're back in the land is because of His great grace. And He has allowed them back, and the temple has not been finished. And so they're back there to help do the work of the temple, and also do the work in their own houses and so on, if they haven't already completed it. But now this is kind of the other underlying study in this chapter. "Let your hands be strong for the work that I give you that lieth ahead." It says, "ye that hear in these days." And he's talking about his voice by his prophets. Maybe not the voice that he's talking right now to them with, but the prophets that have spoken for him not far since. So they need to have strong hands, and they need to hear and know what the voice of the prophets tell them to do. How are they going to know what lieth ahead if they don't know what's been spoken to them? "These words by the mouth of the prophets, they are to do and to obey them, which were in the days that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid that the temple might be built. Okay, that's what we got left. So which were in the days, this was 2 years before. And it tells you in the notes where to find that 2 years before. That the foundation or the base of the house or of the temple of the Lord Jehovah or the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven and earth, was laid or founded. Because, you know, when you lay down a base, it's called founding the building. It says, even the temple. Here it says, might be built. That it must be built. Not might, but must. That word there, I think, should have been changed because it certainly was not an iffy thing. Because here God is doing the directing. He, just about every verse we're in says, thus saith the Lord of heaven and earth. And so we get down to verse 10. Well, we know the temple not might be built, but we know that it must be built. So I couldn't quite go along with might there. In 9. So we get down to verse 10. And it says, for before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. So you see here, he is making sure that this remnant or these people that came back understood what their situation was. The first ones that came back, there was nobody to hire. They just do the work of God or build your own stuff the best you could. Let's look at that. Before those times, it says these days, before those days, there was no hire. There was nobody to pay you any wages. When God cleared that place out for all them years, there wasn't nobody there when they started back. So the first ones in, the first groups, they come in there, had a pretty tough time, I'm sure. And I think that's the reason he's brought this up. But it's been 2 years now. We know at least 2 years. Because in verse 9 we just read that were in those days when the foundation was laid. That was 2 years ago. So at least 2 years have gone by. So that note's pretty pertinent in the CV. That gives us an idea of how long it's been. In 10. But for before these days or those days, there was no hire for man, for Adam, for the children of Adam. The land was desolate. And he says, nor any hire for beast. So there wasn't any wages for man's animals if he brought any animals back with him. If it wasn't no wages for man, it certainly wasn't any wages for the animals other than maybe what they could eat. And it says neither, and there was not there any peace for him or to him that went out or came in. So I don't know if people here decided not to stay in the land that God had given, and some left again or not. I don't know. And it says there wasn't any peace to him that went in or came or went out or came in. Like, you know, some may have come and left, and others may have came and stayed. And he says, because of the affliction, there was an affliction that sent him away. And the affliction was 68, 62 in the strong. And it was trouble, distress, it was pangs and vexations. So we know that when God emptied the city out, there was deaths and people didn't have food, and there was fires and the very many things that sent them away. And it says, for I said all men, and sent, set there is sent, for I sent all men, Adam, everyone, whether it was Adam or the Ish, against his neighbor. Because that was one way that God broke them up, to send them away. And it was 74-53. And the Strong's, the neighbor, and that word is Reha. And it is an association, an associate, or a friend, or it could be kin, or even companion. And we know that when we went through Isaiah, that Isaiah's wife got caught up in the deal in Jerusalem, and she lost her life. And God told him not to shed a tear for her. And so that this is part of what he's talking about. And he's bringing it back up to them to make them realize, you know, what they've got now and what they need to do to make it right and not fall back into that trap that they was involved in. So, verse 10 is a pretty telling story of the things that was going on at that time. And we'll do 11, and I guess we'll go ahead and close because the time is running out. But in 11, you got two wonderful words right there. But now. You know, when we get in the New Testament, that comes around quite often. But here it's rarity. And it gives you a contrast. We just talked about how it was when he sent the people away and how he broke them apart, broke them up, moved them around. And here we got a contrast. But now. So this is something that's going to change now. But some of the things that we've been talking about is going to take place in the millennial time when Christ comes back. And he says, but now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. So he says, but now, this is the contrast, I will not be unto the residue or the remainder of this people, as in the former days, as in the days 70 years back. saith the Lord of hosts, because I think he allowed them privileges that he regretted, and they took up idolatry more greatly. And this was not going to be that. It's not going to be done away with, but it's not going to be like it was in the former days or the former past, saith the Lord of heaven and earth. So, he said, it's just not going to be like it was in the former times or the former days. And he said, I'm telling you, those that are the remainder of Israel, I'm telling you, it's just not going to happen. That's the reason why the but now is there in verse 11. And so, it's 8:25, so we'll stop off here with 11, and we'll pick up, with 12 and go on with study 138 next time. And, because it continues right on down through 17. And then we get into the fast and the things that had been established by the Lord already. But, he right now is dealing with the inhabitants and, that are there, the remnants, and sometimes they're called the residue, sometimes they're called the remainder, sometimes they're called the remnants, sometimes they're called old men and women, and sometimes they're called young people. But he's bringing them back, and it's going to be kind of like it was when they left. So, but he's telling them the reason why they left, how bad it was, how he wasn't going to put up with that anymore in that situation, and he's making a pretty strong case for the fact that it's just not, he's going to rule it with a little different rule than he did before. And so, I think that's the lesson that the point that we can get from the lesson tonight, that he's went through all this and he don't want to have those feelings again for his people, because he's going to start anew and he wants to have the good rapport with those that are there, and he wants them to have the strong hand to listen to what the prophets have said and to get out and to do the work, to build their house, to build his temple, and get on with their life, and get on with what they're supposed to do for him. And that's quite an undertaking. And so that's what we ought to take, I think, from this study and the next one that's coming down the road, if the Lord allows us to give it to you. So that's where we are. And I enjoy doing this one. It was one of the better ones lately that, you know, I could feel like that, yeah, I can begin to see how God is looking at these things and how he's supposedly gonna pull it off with these people that he's chosen and hasn't give up on. And he hasn't give up on them. And thank the Lord that he did. Because we know that he's true, sure, and will keep his word and his promises. So thank you for being with us tonight, and I hope it was something that you got something out of. It certainly was for me that, and the way it's laid out, the way it's put down, gives you a lot of understanding without having to go to a lot of different places in the scripture to get it. Because it's, as we get on in Zechariah, and then the next little book is kind of something that kind of says goodbye, and then God is going to be silent for until his son comes to the earth. You see. And so, it's going to be a few years. But what he's saying now has got to suffice till we pick it up again in the New Testament and go on with it there. So again, that kind of paints you a picture or puts a few more pieces of the puzzle together that you can get from it that will give you the coming down toward the end of the Old Testament, that it's going to be a new beginning. It didn't work the first time, but he ain't done with man yet. Here we sit. He still ain't done with us today. Glory be to God. Thank you. God bless you.